You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cry podcast.
Hi.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello.
Hey. You can hear me okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
All right, perfect. How are you?
I'm okay. I've just woken up, so I'm a little foggy, but we'll be all right.
What time is it there?
It's 10, which, I mean, I should be awake anyway, so I have no excuse.
I love that. And where are you right now?
I'm in Sydney.
Okay,
Australia.
Perfect. Amazing. Have you spent all of quarantine there?
No. So I was living in the UK with my girlfriend. And so everything was closed, obviously, for ages. And then I had to come home. And 2 days after I left the UK, everything opened up. And, like, the world was, like, okay over there in a way. And then I got home and I just did, like, 2 weeks of isolation in the hotel thing that they make you do here. And so I was just, like, missing out on everything and, like, everyone's going out. And I'm just like, no, I left at the wrong time. But Sydney's actually pretty good, to be honest. Like, pretty much everything's open.
It's really? Kind of
like, yeah.
I literally can't even fathom what that's like because, I mean, I don't know if you've seen, but California is the worst in the U.S. That's and so the cool. U.S. is the worst in the world. So we're literally in the absolute worst state.
I didn't know California was the worst. I thought it was still New York that was
as
like,
of yesterday. It's us.
Jesus. Wait, so is everything closed over there?
Literally there's nothing. Like a couple of weeks they opened up restaurants and like nail salons and things like that. Yeah. And then immediately our governor was like, nope, we gotta like close it back up. So I think you can still sit on patios and stuff, but it's like I literally haven't left my apartment much in the last 4 months.
Oh my God. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's almost like the new normal. I'm just used to it at this point, you know?
Yeah. It's weird. It's crazy how quickly you can actually like adapt to things. Hey, like the thought of it is worse than like when you actually have to do it. You're like, okay, I'm used to it now. It's the new normal. It's all good.
Yeah, I feel like it usually takes 3 months to get used to something. And I think, I mean, we're definitely there. So to me, it just doesn't even seem weird anymore. I'm just like, I live alone and I see my sister.
Oh, you're living there too. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
It's a real social. I feel like I'm on a reality show. Like I'm waiting for Ashton Kutcher to jump out and be like,
where's Ashton?
This has been a joke.
I hope for your sake that it is.
Yeah. It's cool though, because it's allowed me to work through so much shit that I feel like I've been suppressing for years, you know?
Right.
Because it's, you know, with Emo Night, we actually met you guys at Sad Summer last summer. I think you...
Yeah, I think I remember that.
You DJed one of our after party things like very briefly. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, our lifestyle is very similar to what you guys go through where, you know, we're always like traveling and just on the go. And for the last 5 years that we've been doing Emo Night, it's been like that just constantly. Yeah. So it's truly the first time since maybe I was 15 that I've just been sitting here and like really thinking about stuff.
And, with your thoughts.
Yeah, and like processing the last however many years.
Yeah. I think I agree with that too. Like, I mean, we get so nostalgic, like every day. It's like, remember this, remember that. Like, it's so bad. And like you, like we are constantly like going, and I feel like the last few years have been so quick moving and stuff that, yeah, we haven't gotten a time to just sit back and reflect on everything. So you are right in that way. That definitely forces you to kind of like sit back and appreciate all the things you've done. And like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like
it's a blessing in disguise in a way.
Yeah, it's like I've scrolled through my Instagram a couple of times through quarantine and I've just been like, holy shit, we've done so many things. And I almost feel like I wasn't even present at them because I was like, okay, we're getting on a flight tomorrow morning and we have to like get to this meeting and we have to see these people. And so you're always thinking about what's next. Whereas now I'm like holding my morning coffee and I'm like, this is all I'm doing for an hour. You know, like, this is who I am.
Yeah. No, okay.
But I love that you guys are still putting out music, because I feel like that's another thing is whenever we're in regular life before this, music comes out and you kind of just listen to like one or two songs on the go, or, you know, you like see a song on a playlist. And it's been cool to be able to consume entire EPs or albums from artists, like beginning to end, and sort of, you know, there's like a lot that goes into the order of songs and how they flow into each other and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, watching the music videos that go along with it, it's everybody has more time to do that. So do you think that's kind of been a sort of pro in putting out music during this time?
Definitely. Like, you hit the nail on the head. Like, people have so much more time now to absorb the things that they're getting presented, I guess. And I mean last night I listened to the whole Taylor Swift album, all six songs, like, didn't stop. And like,
same.
Because we have the time, like, I can do it. And I think it just makes you appreciate it on a whole other level. So if people are doing that with the songs we're releasing, then I'm happy.
Yeah, totally. I love especially Jurassic Park, and I love the music video for it. I thought it was really cool.
Thank you.
Did you guys film that a while back, or?
Yeah, because we were worried about, like, because the original time we were going to release it was kind of like during this whole the COVID, like, starting off, and we were like, people are going to think that we are just going against everything and like not social distancing or whatever. But the truth is that we recorded it, we filmed it the day after the tour in the UK finished, and we had like just 2 days back to back. One day we filmed two music videos in one day.
Damn.
And it was the most tired I've ever been in my life.
Jesus, I can't even imagine.
It was a lot, but we're happy with how it came out, and we were so, so grateful that like we did it straight after that tour, because it was probably like a week after all the COVID things started happening, and we were just like, oh my God, like, we got it done just in time. So
yeah, that's great. Yeah. How was Sad Summer? Was that a cool experience?
It's still our favorite tour to date. Like, it was just so good. I don't even really know why. I think it's just the whole vibe of it is, it's summery, and like we had White Claws on our rider every day, and like it was just so good. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. And the shows were like just so much better than we were thinking, at least the crowds for us anyway, because like, you know, we were a small band and we didn't know what to expect. We'd never done a festival tour before, and so everyone on that tour was so nice, the crowds were awesome, and the weather was great, and there's nothing bad about it. Like, what can you say that's bad? Nothing.
Yeah. It's so good. It's funny because, you know, Eric Tobin.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So I'm from Hungary, and he spent Christmas.
Really?
Yeah. He spent Christmas with us. Randomly, he was just in Europe, and I think he saw you guys. This was like 2, maybe 3 years ago. And I think he like saw you guys and then like flew to Hungary and hung out with like my family.
Oh my God. I remember him telling us that. Yeah. Yeah. I think we were at Nando's and he was telling us how he was going to Hungary. We were like, oh, okay, cool. Random.
Yeah. But I remember he's like, you have to check out this band. And I was like, holy shit, I love this so much. But it was just, it was so funny because he's just such a funny guy. He's like,
that is the most Tobin thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I'll just fly around during Christmas. It'll be great.
Yeah. And then you just get this message like ages ago, and he's like, yep, climbing Mount Everest. I'm like, okay, looking, have at it. It's so good.
Insane. Like, good on you. I watched his stories while he was doing that, and I felt tired just watching.
Just looking at it. Yeah.
I was like, I would never do this, but good
for
you.
At least you've like now, you've kind of like mentally just checked it off the list of things to do now because he's done it for us.
Oh, 100. I will. It's the last thing I would ever do. Like, I love an accomplishment, but that is just, I'll leave it to other people. Yeah. So I wanted to kind of tie it into Sad Summer. So, you know, we were put on it to do a couple of after parties. And so I looked at the lineup. And of course, it's like, I think you were literally the only female on the lineup.
Yeah. I think Just Friends had a female in their band. But other than that, I'm pretty sure that was it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's not a novel thing. It's such a, I think, huge part of like this scene and the music industry as a whole that it's very male dominated. But like, what's been your experience with that? Does it stand out to you? Like, are you on that tour being like, okay, I'm fully surrounded by all guys. You know, it's very male dominant. I'm, you know, a minority in this situation. Like, does it stand out to you, or is it totally normal?
I think, like in the recent years, it's definitely made me realize it, but in my everyday life, like on tour and stuff, like I think I've always grown up around boys. I've always hung out around boys. So I've never kind of felt that thing of like, oh, I'm the only girl here. It's kind of like, oh, there's another girl here. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just not really part of my like day-to-day thinking, but which I think is not really a good thing, but it's just the way I was brought up, I guess. But now that it's all coming to light, it's kind of like made me think about it and realize like, okay, like why am I the only girl on this lineup? Like, could they have not found someone else? Like, I don't know. But I try not to like kind of talk about this too much because sometimes I can feel kind of conflicted about the whole thing. And I don't know. I just think my view on it is in terms of like where I stand with it is that I want to be like, I just want to show through example. I don't like it when like people just kind of talk about it and then do nothing about it. I'd rather like say a piece every now and again, but actually just show through example. Like, it doesn't matter that you're a girl in a band. Who gives a crap? Like, if you are a female and you want to do this, just do it and don't think about it. Like, do not think about it and don't let it hold you back, because the more that you think about it, I think can hold you back in a way because you're thinking about it all the time. Whereas like I grew up listening to like Avril Lavigne, and my mum was really into like Janis Joplin and like all that kind of thing. And I never went in thinking I'm a girl doing this. I kind of was just like, I'm a person, I'm a human being. This is what I want to do. I'm going to fucking do it. I don't care what anyone says or what the rules are. I'm just going to go and do it. And I think that's and those people that I was listening to as well, those females were doing that as well. And I think that was what was special about it. Just that they just shut up and just did it. And I just think there's a power to that. But I will say that of course it is important to talk about it, of course. But I don't know. I think a lot of people are more eloquent than I. So I'd rather just be like, this is me, this is what I'm doing. I'm proving to you that, you know, you can do whatever you want just by me being here.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, I totally agree with you. I'm the exact same way. Because that I believe in that. It's like you have to do what you want to do, and it's all coming from you as a person, not necessarily like I'm a female. And like, but I will say my other two partners that we like run Emo Night with and DJ with and everything are guys. And through the years, I've had to point out certain things to them. Like, see, like, this is the way the sound guy like ignored me or talked to me, or this is how, you know, we would go into venues, and every venue, like always a dude would greet us and they'd be like, oh, you're the merch girl. And I was like, no, I'm not the merch girl. I'm like part of
that's
the,
so shit.
And, you know, there's been instances where like we're setting up CDJs and something's wrong. And I remember like this specific time, there's like three dudes trying to fix it. And I was like, oh, I've encountered this specific problem. Like, this is what you do. And they were like, no. Like, we know what's up. And I was like, cool. And I stood back for like 30 minutes. And after 30 minutes, they did the exact thing that
you were going to do. Mm-hmm.
And so it's classic. Moments like that where I think it's important to speak up. And so it's not necessarily like,
for sure. Oh, yeah, speak up in the moment, I think, is super important too, that people don't do either. I think you're right with that. Like, you know, people come away with these stories, but, you know, in the moment they didn't do anything. And it's like, that is super important. You need to do something in the moment as well. Like, I don't know. Because, I mean, I think we've all dealt with situations like you were saying, like it's kind of impossible not to go through your life as a woman and, you know, confront those kind of situations. But, I mean, there's been times where we were playing a festival and I wasn't wearing a lanyard. No, I was wearing a lanyard, sorry, to like get in like a pass. And I was with the guys and our crew and everyone, none of which were wearing lanyards, or half of them were. And I'm literally with the group and I'm the only girl in the group, and we're going in like to the backstage artist area, and the security man stops me, doesn't stop anyone else, And then he was like telling me that I can't go in because of my pass. And I'm just like, what are you, like, that is the most backwards thing I've ever encountered. And I'm like, you didn't stop any of those people that were and weren't wearing the same lanyard I'm wearing. Like, what the hell is your deal? And like, and what do you do? Like, you have to just like give it to him because like, it's fucking stupid. Fuck off. Yeah. I literally told him, your head's not screwed on right. Like, this is backwards. Fuck off. I'm going. And I just walked in. I was like, fuck you.
Totally. Yeah. No, 100%. And it is just, it's addressing it in the moment. And then it's also, you know, just teaching the people around you. And I think that's been really important for me to just point things out to Morgan and TJ, because in the beginning they were like, they weren't like, oh, you're, this is in your head. But I would be like, check out this specific thing. And they were like, holy shit. And then, you know, now it's been so many years that they're totally so good about everything. And they'll call people out before I even, like, I don't even notice things anymore. They're like, don't talk to her like that. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that was a thing.
So good, they're helping us do our own, like, do our own shit, which we shouldn't even have to do in the first place.
Exactly. So. It's like having an extra job on top of,
like, literally.
Yeah. It's so wild. But I think that's a really good point that you're making, that it isn't about talking about it really. It's just,
I mean, talking about it, of course, is important. I don't want to, like, you know, overshadow that in any kind of way.
Yeah.
It's just my own personal view of it is just, I'm just going to do it and show younger girls that want to do, like, something like what I'm doing, that you can, and your gender is not going to stop you from doing that, because it doesn't have to at all.
In that sense, though, do you ever feel a kind of pressure to be a role model in a way, where, you know, you feel like, okay, I'm representing women in this scene or in the music industry as a whole, or really in the world as a whole. And so do you ever feel like you kind of have to put yourself on a pedestal and make sure that you're kind of perfect in a way so that other, like, young girls or people in general who are looking up to you can see an example?
In a way, I think, it's a bit of give and take, because I don't want to be this, like, perfect person, even though I am, but, like, I don't want to be. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be this, like, perfect thing, because I think that's super unrealistic. Like, no one is like that. So it's important to, like, not be afraid to make mistakes every now and again. Obviously, don't be racist and don't be homophobic and anything like that, obviously. But, like, in terms of, like, your life, it's okay to make mistakes. And I think a lot of people struggle with that, myself included. Even now, like, with everything going on, like, I am afraid to tweet. I'm just like, what if someone takes this the wrong way, no matter what it is? Like, I'm just like, I've got Twitter anxiety, and it's so shit, because it's like, it's part of, like, what we have to do. But, oh my god, like, even the other day I tweeted about, like, a dream I had where I was in a dwarf only restroom and I got in my, I know. And then in my dream, I got canceled because as the dwarf was helping me out of the restroom, because I was in the wrong one, I called him a little legend, and then I got canceled in my dream. And I was like, can I even tweet about this? Like, am I going to get canceled for this? Like, and I hate thinking like that. I just want to be able to, like, say my shit. And then, I don't know, I'm kind of learning now to just, like, say it and apologize later if it needs to be addressed. But yeah, I think people are afraid of making mistakes, for sure, because Twitter is toxic as fuck. And it's like, you've got like 14-year-olds on there that don't really know how the world works or anything. And a lot of the time, like, it's bullying the way that, I don't know if I'm getting too deep into this right
now. No, go for
it. I'm just going on a rant. But like, yeah, in a way it's bullying, and that to an extent is just as bad as the people they're condemning for certain actions. It's like, you don't know how the world works, and when you're that young, and you don't have enough life experience, and you don't realize as well that the things you're saying now to these people on a mass scale, like, is harmful, and it is bullying. Like, there's no other way to put it in my eyes. And, like, fucking miss me with that, bring up old things that people did when they were 14. Like, just miss me with that shit. I can't stand it. But, like, at the same time, I do get it. But, yeah, I don't know. I've got a lot of feelings about this. You've pricked me. But
I mean, I do too. I I feel like people hide behind their screens and they're like, I'll say whatever. But the
so easy.
But I don't know. I used to let that get to me a lot, like to the point where I started therapy because of it. Because I, you know, in the beginning of starting Emo Night, I had never been in like the spotlight or whatever. And not like we're, you know, super in the public eye, but it was the first time where people on the internet had an opinion about me as a person. Because of what? Because of like a DJ night that I do. You'd like, you have no idea who I am as a person. But it really got to me. Like Noisy put out this one article about us where I was like, I'm going to stop doing everything I'm doing. I'm going to move to a farm and I will never come back.
Don't let the media fuck you over like that.
Yeah. But this was like, you know, 6 months in, and then I started going to therapy and like pretty much immediately worked it all out in like 3 months. And after that, I've never cared one time. Like
that's so good.
At all. But did you in the beginning find, or do you ever find it like getting to you?
For sure. Like I can't look at YouTube comments because I'm just like,
YouTube's the worst.
Yeah, I know. I've just like accepted the fact that it's AIDS. Like I just don't bother. I don't know. Oh shit, can I get cancelled for saying that? I don't know anymore. So I don't know. I just can't. Like, it's weird because sometimes, I mean, back in the day when I was really young, I'd put like covers up on YouTube. That's kind of how I got into like, you know, being in a band in the first place and singing. And the comments, like even though you'd get like 50 good ones, like just that one that's like just a little bit like sour, it just gets you and you're like, oh my God, they're right, they're right, they're right. And like you just take it all on board and it's so unhealthy. And I don't really know how to let go of that, to be honest. Like I think you just have to not look at it. Just don't look at it. Force yourself to just not read the comments, and then like it can't hurt you because you can't see it. But I think also definitely like through experience and like just being kind of accustomed to it now, like having opinions of me and our band, like you do kind of learn to just let things slide and it doesn't affect you as much because you realize like that's just on a screen. That those words don't appear in my actual real life. Like I can just get on with it. But
oh no, you froze.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh no, you're back. You're back now.
Yeah. You were just like this for ages. And I was like, oh, she's really like really pensive.
You cut off like maybe like 10 seconds ago.
Okay. So to sum it up, I think the only way to really get past those things is to like, yeah, realize that whoever's writing that comment is not in your real life. And also, just, I think also just experience, just having it like, and accepting that that's just going to happen regardless. And you cannot please everyone. You literally can't. And that's coming from me, who was like the biggest people pleaser growing up. I still kind of am in a way. Like, it fucking sucks when someone doesn't like you or say something negative. It sucks. But there is a way to just kind of like let it go. Just know that it's not actually to do with you. These people don't know you. And sometimes that's the worst part about it, is the fact that they have no idea who you are, yet they're saying this such an offensive thing.
Yeah.
It's like,
totally.
In a way, maybe we just have to get over ourselves. Oh, I don't know.
1,000%. My therapist, the thing she said that made me completely get over it in one session, and this like doesn't even really makes sense. I've said this to certain people and they're like, okay, you're crazy. But she said, think about a negative comment as if someone's throwing a potato at you and you have enough time to like get out of the way where it can just go past you, or you can stand there and let it hit you. And and she said, think about like negative comments like that. Like you can literally just get out of the way and like keep going with your life. And I don't know, for some reason that after that day, I was like, I haven't seen a single comment since that day that like got to me. Yeah. You know when people say like one thing and it just sticks with you and then you're just good. That was one of those. And I was really glad because before then I was sincerely thinking about just like switching careers, and you know, I'm just too like nice and introverted, and
I fully feel you. But you have to, like, also the thought of like throwing that away just because of one idiot with a keyboard, like, that is more messed, like, that's just like, I can't sit with myself if that was the case. And like, yeah, you just, yeah,
totally.
You know what I mean?
It was also funny because that Noisy article, it's still to this day is really the only negative article we've had about us. But right. They called us three chuckle fucks, which now we just call each other that all the time now.
What does that even mean? What the hell?
I have no idea. Like, it's just like a, it's just like a, I don't know, some like chuckle fucks. And I remember seeing that and I was like, oh my God. But now I'm like, that is the funniest shit I've ever heard. Like,
it's not beautiful.
It's not even real. It's just like a joke word that someone made.
Yeah. Also, how sad that they put that in an article. That's not even a YouTube comment. That's an article. They spent time crafting that. Fuck off.
Yeah. I mean, it's also noisy though. So they just do whatever. They're like,
noisy.
Yeah. They're like, I don't give a shit. You know?
Very true.
They write the craziest articles. But yeah, I think just like one more question I have for you about, I guess just looping back to sort of our scene being really male dominant is, how do you think that, like, what changes do you think could be made besides saying stuff in the moment? Like, do you think it's up to people putting together festivals to make sure that it is sort of like 50-50 female and male? Or do you think it's up to the audience to, you know, listen more to female-led bands to make sure that they get on the bill? Or like, what do you think can be done to kind of change the sitch?
This is where I get conflicted, because like, I think it's everyone, like, we all need to do it. Like, we need to support more bands with females in it, and we need to put shows on with more female bands in it as well. But at the same time, it's like, I want people to support female bands because they're good bands, not just because they've got a female in it. And I don't know whether that's correct to say or not or whatever, but like, that's my view anyway. Because otherwise it's a charity, isn't it? Like, it irks me a bit in that way. But another thing I will say is, like, we played Unify Festival in 2018, I think, or 19, 18? I don't know. Anyway.
What is time?
what the fuck is time? It was pre-COVID. That's all we need to know at this point.
It's like before Christ and after Christ.
Yeah, BC, literally. Okay, so anyway, we played that festival, and like, in Australia, I feel like the whole, you know, females on lineups is a big thing that people really get arced up over. And I think it was for Unify, they were complaining or whatever. There wasn't enough females. But then you go and watch the bands that have females in them, and people aren't watching them. I'm like, how can you complain about not having enough females on a lineup when you won't go and support the ones that they do put on? Like, it has to go both ways, because you're not giving much incentive to the promoter to put on bands if you're not going to go and see them. Like, that's the whole reason they're on there. And so it's like, I don't know, I think maybe as this is kind of growing and stuff, like, even if you don't like the band, if they have a female in it, just go fucking watch it anyway. Like, I know I just said I don't want it to be a charity, but like, maybe that's how it needs to start becoming a norm, is like, just fucking go and see them, and you'll probably like them, to be honest. But
totally.
Yeah, I don't know. That's that on that.
Totally. Yeah, I agree with that. And when you're on tour, and I guess now, you know, I guess you're saying a lot of things are open and you guys are living real life, but when you were in quarantine and when you're on tour and you feel like your mental health is kind of needs a little boost, like, what are some things that work for you that kind of like get you back into a good mindset?
I think putting my phone away actually really helps, but it's friggin' hard to do,
so
especially
hard
when you're in like a long distance relationship.
Yeah.
So putting your phone away, I think, really helps. And just talk to your friends. Like, it doesn't have to be about what you're going through. Like, just have a just chat, because you'll be surprised at how, like, quickly your mind can, you know, just be distracted for a bit, at least, if that's all you're after. Like, I don't know. It is hard, though, and I think a lot of the time it's different every time, because sometimes you're in a funk that you just can't get out of no matter what, and you kind of just have to wait it out. And I'm very, very grateful and lucky that, you know, being on stage for 30 or 40 minutes every night is such a way to forget everything. And I know every artist says that, it's where I forget all my problems on stage. But, like, I don't have any, I'm not thinking about anything else when I'm there, because I want to make sure we're putting on a good show. And like, that, I'm not joking. There's been a time where I think we were in Detroit, and I was in tears, like, before the show was starting. Like, I was in tears, and we were about to go on in, like, 30 seconds. I'm still crying, and I'm literally, like, there at the basement, just, like, at the basin, just, like, dry my eyes, and I walk straight out on the stage, and everything just went away. Like, it's crazy how, like, therapeutic it can be in a way. But, yeah, I know a lot of people aren't as fortunate to, like, have that kind of outlet, but I honestly think just, like, talking to your mates is probably one of the easiest and, like, quickest ways to forget what you're feeling in a way.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we went on one actual tour, because every other emo night is, like, we just fly there and fly back, but we went on one tour with 303, and
yeah,
it's when I realized that touring just isn't for me, because I have to, like, if I don't sleep well, then I become a nightmare person. And I couldn't sleep in a bunk. So I didn't sleep for a month and a half. And, like, as the days went on, I just became, like, an absolute nightmare. Like, I kept apologizing to everyone around me, because I would wake up and I would just start crying. And then I would cry for, like, 2 hours. And then a few hours later, and so the same shit would happen to me, as I would just cry all afternoon, and then we would hit the stage, and it was the best. It was the absolute best. And also at our shows, people come on stage. So it's like feeling that energy and just, like, getting to talk to everybody and hug, or, and now we can't hug anyone, but
elbow.
Yeah, just like an air high five. But, you know, just that energy and just being able to listen to, like, all these songs that we grew up listening to. And it's so magical that it makes you completely forget about it.
I want to know why that is. Like, is it because, like, your brain just goes, right, oh, I have to do this and there's no other option. Like, so I'm just going to forget everything else. Like, I don't know why doing stuff like that actually is just so helpful and, like, freeing. I don't know why.
Well, I think it's a combination of that and the fact that you love doing it.
Yeah, true.
Like, you.
Yeah, that's probably a good point.
So it just. I would hope.
Yeah, what do you fucking idiot? Oh my god.
But yeah, totally. All right, I've got one last question for you. What do you think the future of shows is going to look like? Like, first of all, I don't know when it's even going to come back, but now, like, I saw they're doing movies with, like, boats on a lake. Like, you get your own boat, and then they screen the movie.
That's crazy.
And then they started, I don't know if they do this where you're at, but they started doing drive-in shows here.
Same here.
Yeah. But, you know, it's obviously not the same. You have to listen on your car radio, and there's no amplified sound, and you're in, like, in a parking lot in a blocked off area. But yeah, what do you think the future of shows is going to be like?
I'm really scared.
Yeah.
I've said to the guys the other day, I was like, boys, first show back, I want to get a massive bubble and I want to go and ground surf in
a bubble.
That'd
be so fun.
I know. I don't know. Like, are people going to have to, like, sign waivers before they come into shows? But then if you're signing a waiver, should you even be going to a show? Like, I don't know. I really haven't thought much about it. I hate the thought of it all being, like, on the internet as, like, a live stream. That just irks me so hard.
Yeah.
I just don't want it. But the thing is, that just goes to show that nothing can, replace the environment of like a live show? Absolutely nothing. Like, even the drive-in ones, it's like, yeah, like you can do it, but it's not the same, is it? And like, I just hope that that somehow wakes up the government to like just fund the fuck out of the arts, like, across the world, because like it's gonna suffer so much, I think, if nothing's done about it. It's gonna suck.
Yeah, I bet they're gonna make testing super easy. Like, I bet it'll be, you know, they'll like put a piece of paper in your mouth and it can tell you if you have it. So I think everyone in line at a venue, they'll just test you super quick. And like, that's what makes sense to me. I mean, I think inevitably, it seems really far away right now because there isn't even a vaccine at all. But I think once they have it, they can, I mean, we're living in 2020. I would hope they can figure this shit out.
Yeah, I know. If one good thing could come out of 2020, please just let us test easy. Come on.
Yeah, like, let us have a show. I mean, I was supposed to see Taylor Swift tomorrow. I left it on my calendar. I try to remove everything once this all started, just to not be reminded of the life that I'm not living. But it was on my calendar. And it was like this whole festival that she was doing. And it bummed me out so much. So it's like,
Dude, I've been getting like tweets like back in like June when we were supposed to start our US tour. I was getting tweets like, would have seen Stan Atlantic today in XYZ city, and I'm just like, stop tweeting me this. It's killing me.
You're like, I don't need a daily reminder.
Literally every day I was like, fuck.
I know well, one day and I'm excited to see you guys again whenever thank you. It happens.
Can't wait.
Well, thanks so much for chatting with me.
Of course.
It was really nice just to chat about real life stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I hope you have a nice weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right, talk to you later. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Hello. Welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book, and together we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our 9th season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.